After my brother and I personally created thousands of pieces of content, built over 10 million followers, managed millions in mobile app spend, helped apps get millions of users, millions of followers, and billions of views, working with companies like Y Combinator, Mindvalley, and Cloak, we decided to start this podcast to share everything we learned along the way. I hope you share it with a fellow mobile app founder and enjoy. Whether you've never run ads for your mobile app before, or you are currently spending millions of dollars a month on paid ads for your mobile app, this podcast will give you pretty much every single little thing you need to know in order to build an insane acquisition machine for your app. So we're going to be covering a couple of things during this podcast. It will be more of a lengthy one, so be sure to cut out all distractions and sit down and listen to the whole thing, because I truly believe that this is probably going to be one of the best pieces of content that I've ever put out. So a couple of things that we're going to be covering. One, when to start paid ads. Two, goals and KPIs, so you know what's actually working, what's not. Three, understanding exactly how paid ads work. Now, I know a lot of you listening right now probably understand it, but diving a little deeper so you really can understand the full 360 picture. Four, the creative. So that's the creative formats, the scripting, the creator, scaling creative, going to be teaching you how to do all of that. And then the media buying, reverse engineering your KPIs in order to build an extremely, extremely profitable client or customer acquisition machine, budgeting, and then scaling your spend, attribution. And then we're also going to be talking about top of funnel versus middle of funnel versus bottom of funnel. And then last but not least, flywheel effects. So referral campaigns, affiliates, reviews, retention, and building a great product. Okay, so let's dive right into it. Highly recommend that you pull out a notebook and start taking notes. Or if you are listening to this where you can't take notes, highly recommend watching it or listening to it again and taking notes when you do get the chance. Okay, so when do you start paid ads for your mobile app? So there's really only three specific times you should think about running paid ads. One is if you don't have high LTVs, but want to use paid ads to help you increase LTVs through data. For those of you who don't know, LTV is lifetime value. So that's basically on average of the people that download your app, how much are they worth? So let's say that on average, people buy a $10 subscription and stay for 3 months across every single user you have. So that means your LTV is $30. So number one is you don't have high LTVs. So maybe your LTVs are like a few bucks, but you want to use paid ads to help you increase your LTVs through data. And we'll talk a little bit about that here in a second. Second, you don't know your LTV and want to test. So this is more for like really new mobile app founders. If you have some traffic coming in, people are downloading your app, highly, highly recommend that you get this implemented ASAP, because without numbers, you can't scale anything. And then number three, kind of the pinnacle, you have super high LTVs, and that's when you can run ads, because obviously people are staying for a really long time and you can justify spending money to acquire them. And this is really what most app founders are trying to get to. When you have a great product, your LTVs just skyrocket, and then you can justify spending a ton of money on paid ads. Even if the creatives don't work too well, even if the costs are super high, you can justify it. I'm not saying that it's what you should be 100% doing, but you can justify it. And we're going to be talking a little bit more about if you don't have these super high LTVs, or maybe you do and you want to get your costs down a bunch, what exactly to do. And that's exactly why I am recording this. Okay, number three is goals and KPIs. So understanding your targets and what you really want out of paid ads. A lot of the founders that I talk to, a lot of the people that have mobile apps, really don't know what they're looking for. They kind of just want to run ads and just get a grasp for things, want to see how people react to their app, which is totally fine. Don't get me wrong. But if you're able to make some really strict targets in terms of KPIs, hey, I'm looking for XYZ and I'm going to keep working until I get there. And the other big issue that I see is a lot of founders aren't able to play the long-term game. They expect to post a few ads and then just see a multi-million dollar company. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way unless you have extremely high LTVs. But for 99% of you out there, your whole goal is to use paid ads to play the long-term game. And this really matters if you're fully committed to building your current app. If you're kind of just like experimenting as a side project and like, we'll see how it goes for the next couple of weeks. Maybe paid ads doesn't have to be a long-term game for you. Maybe you just do it for a few weeks, kind of just like get a grasp for how things are. But I know for the founders that have spent the last few months or years building their product, it is really important that you play the long-term game. Now, I know I said this a few times now already, but I just really, really want to reiterate. There have been times where we've worked with companies first 4 or 5, 6 months, Their ads just aren't doing too well. Really high CACs, which is customer acquisition costs. We'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But we just stick to it because the founders are so down to play the long-term game. They're like, hey, Sai Shrieker, who's my brother and co-founder. They're like, we just want to keep running this. We want to make improvements to our product using the data that we're able to collect from ads, which again, I'll be telling you about in just a second and how exactly to do that. And they're committed. And within the sixth, seventh month, like we're able to get them really, really low costs and they can justify it because their LTVs are just so great. So again, ads can take a few months to crack, but you just can't give up. A great example is like you're investing into a money-making machine, right? Like how long would you invest into a money-making machine if you knew that one day for every dollar you put in, you will get two out? Now, I know you guys are probably thinking, Sai, I don't have too much money. I can't justify spending that much money. That's totally okay. And again, right? Like if you're all in, you're going gung-ho on this. You're like, I want everything over the next 3 years of my life to be fully focused on building this app. Then I highly recommend investing. And if you have funding, even better, definitely take a good chunk of your money and put it towards paid ads if you fit one of those three things. Again, you don't have high LTVs, but you want to use paid ads to help you increase LTVs through data. You don't know your LTV and want to test, or you have super high LTVs and this is really the pinnacle. Okay, so in terms of numbers, just a couple of things that I want to clarify. Just a couple terms that you'll be hearing me use over the next 30 minutes to 1 hour of this podcast. One is LTV, that's lifetime value. I do interchange that with lifetime gross profit because really, like if your company's not profitable, LTVs don't really matter. But for most of you out there, since you have tech-heavy products that don't require too much manpower and just like massive, massive teams, LTV is going to be the term I use. You don't really need to worry about lifetime gross profit. The second is CAC, that's customer acquisition cost. Again, for you seasoned founders, like this is all really elementary. CAC is customer acquisition cost, how much it costs you to acquire a customer. Don't get that confused with install. That's actually acquisition cost. So how much does it cost for you to get them to pay you is what the CAC is. Third is CPI, that's cost per install, how much it costs for someone to install your app. And then the fourth is LTV to CAC ratio. So that's lifetime value to customer acquisition cost ratio. Now, really what you should be aiming for is 3-to-1. That's like when you're like, okay, I can really just scale this thing. Again, I know for some of you guys have raised a bunch of money and like profitability or, you know, just like revenue is not too important for you right now. That's okay. But just keep in the back of your mind that once you get to a 3-to-1 LTV to CAC ratio, you will basically have solved acquisition and you can just keep scaling. And I'll touch on that just in a little second and give you a couple examples of what that looks like. Okay, so in order to understand all of this, right, like a lot of you guys are probably spending a bunch of money on ads already or are thinking about running ads, but if you're unable to grasp like practically, fundamentally what advertising is, then you will not be able to fully understand how to run ads. Maybe they work for you right now, but unless you're really able to understand, your strategy will not be rooted in something that's very deep that is like human psychology. So fundamental advertising, what is fundamental advertising? The big thing that I love about advertising, which is why I made my whole career in advertising, is that human psychology will never change no matter how much AI, world chaos, or rapid change happens. I know a lot of you guys are concerned about AI taking over some of your apps, your products. Luckily for me, and I'm just going to brag in your face to you, but I am not scared about marketing. Like I love what I do for that reason, because fundamentally human psychology stays the same. I'm kidding, but human psychology does stay the same. And so with marketing, right, like even though trends, AI, all these things come up, if you're able to truly understand human psychology, then you will crack advertising. Like you do not have to worry about anything happening. And the big thing that people think advertising really is like they think it's someone in a crowd, right? You're trying to get someone in a crowd to notice your app and buy it. That's like theoretical, fundamental advertising principles that you hear a lot. Yeah, there's people in a crowd and you have to grab their attention. Cool, totally fine. But this is somewhat wrong. It's not just someone in a crowd, especially with the attention spans nowadays with TikTok, Instagram, all these different platforms just sucking up every single ounce and second of people's attention span. It's about getting someone in a moving crowd, trying to get somewhere to notice your app and download it. Things used to be hard as is, right? very big crowd. You're trying to get their attention. But now people are trying to get to something. Like, they don't want to see your ads. They want to see their next piece of dopamine content so they can just snap their finger and get that instant dopamine. And you're stopping them. You're stopping their scroll with an ad. So your ad better be good. And so a big thing that I like to think about a lot is like how Mark Zuckerberg makes money, Zuck and Chew, right? Like, you think about the TikTok CEO and Facebook founder, right? So TikTok, Meta, and YouTube and other platforms have captured attention. So like they've understood what people want. And that's why millions and millions and millions of people come to their platform every single day. And you're basically paying them to have your content get shown to the crowd. So like, you go up to Zuck's like, hey Zuck, like, you have all this attention. Can I like pay you to get like some, I'll do my best to capture the attention of these people. Let me just pay you. And that's exactly what Zuckerberg does, right? Like, he gives you the ad platform, you pay the ad platform, you put your piece of content in front of them, and people decide if the content's good or not. And like, no, there's no middleman. Like, that's it, right? Like, the people decide, which is why, again, I think marketing's so cool. Cause if you're truly smart and you're able to build great products, you'll be able to crack marketing really easily. Okay, so CPMs, this is a big thing that comes up a lot. What are CPMs and why does this matter with like how TikTok, Meta, and YouTube make money? So CPMs are what determine how much you pay the platform per 1,000 impressions. So M stands for million, not to be confused with million. That is per 1,000 impressions. So you'll see if you run ads that some ads have like $10, $15, $25 CPMs. Other ads have like $40, $50, $60 CPMs. Some industries have higher CPMs. This also comes down to seasonality. So that's just the cost of how much you're paying each platform. The next thing is algorithm. Okay, so fundamental principles stay the same, right? It's just people who don't want to watch your ad will not watch it because one, it's not relatable enough. Two, it's not entertaining enough. Or three, it's not informative enough. So no matter how much you pay Meta, you go up to Mark Zuckerberg, Zuck, I have millions and millions and millions of dollars. Let me just like crack this paid ads thing without good creative. Zuck will be like, all right, you can try it and you will get slapped in the face because your ads suck. And so no matter how much you pay Meta, if your ads suck, they will not work. So reiterating, relatable, entertaining, or informative. Now, I know a lot of what I'm talking about right now is very theoretical. Don't worry. I will be diving into a lot more tactical stuff here in just a second. So that's fundamentally how the algorithm works. And you have to keep in mind that, again, going back to the dopamine thing, on the organic content side, content is getting so good now and dopamine's just getting, it's terrible, right? Like human attention span is just getting lower and lower and lower because content keeps getting better, better, better. So the organic people that are posting organic content on social media are competing for attention. And you within that are competing for attention for your paid ads. So yes, you're paying the platform, but you have to be really good with the videos or assets that you actually put out there. And so that leads me to the creative. How do you make ads that actually work? Now, this is the golden question. My brother and I mean, you've probably heard in the beginning of this podcast, like we've created thousands of pieces of content ourselves. At the time of recording this, I just turned 20. I started creating content at the age of 6. And really consistently, when things started taking off for me, I think I was 15 or 16. And then within a couple of years, a year and a half, actually, we built a little over 10 million followers, me and my brother. And we understand creative. And that's how we've been able to do everything that we've done, because we just get it. And so what does that mean? Like, what do we get that you don't? Or maybe you do, but you need a reminder. I'll tell you exactly what that is. So creative is 90% of what matters. A lot of people will come up to you and be like, oh, dude, you hear about this new media buying technique that uses audiences and pixels and does this crazy like retargeting ultra thing. Like, no, it's not going to work if your creative sucks. And your creative is 90% of what matters. So it seems really simple, but 90% of your time on paid ads should go towards the creative. If it's not, you're doing it wrong, and you've probably seen the results show. So your video or image needs to be so compelling that people install your app at a super low cost, because that's what you're trying to ultimately get to. So how exactly do you do that? So first principles thinking, I mean, you need to understand like who is going to record, what even is content and who's going to record it, right? Content is what you put out on social media platforms that people like. It's just human psychology. It's just what we've evolved to. And in order for someone to actually create the content, you need creators. And this is like the big age-old question. This could be a potential billion-dollar question. Who will actually create the content? Is it me, the founder, or do I bring on an external creator? And by the way, if you want someone on your current team that's doing other stuff to record content, terrible, terrible freaking idea, unless they're either A, really good at creating content, and B, they have nothing else to do in the company and everything else they do is useless. Because I'm telling you now, it will be a time suck. So what are the pros and cons for founder-led content? Founder-led content basically means you or the founder is going to be recording the ads themselves. So what are the pros for that? Now, I see a lot of founders crack this really well. I have a couple of founders who have done this extremely well. And there are other really, really big founders that are able to do this. I record my own ads at the time of making this right now. But again, like, I come from a creator background, so I know how to do it. For you, if you don't have any creative knowledge, and even if you think you do, I might break your beliefs for just a second. Here are the pros, okay? I'll give you the pros first, and then we'll go to the cons. One of the pros is you're very trustworthy. Obviously, you built the company, and like, you just speak with a ton of conviction, and people feel tied to your story or brand. You think of like the greatest founders, like Elon could be a controversial topic, but Elon's a great example of this. He's the face of Tesla, or at least he was. Other people are the face of other companies. Like, now Mark Zuckerberg's taking more of an initiative to be in the limelight because some people vibe with him. Other really good companies have done this well. Built Ankur Jain, son of Naveen Jain. He's done this really well. And really, like, you know your app best and you can speak about it authentically and it doesn't cost money. So the pros seem really good, right? Sai, what could possibly go wrong? Wrong. One, cons: extreme time suck unless you've made tons of content in the past. So that's basically just like, if you've never created content, it will take you a bunch of time and you are not prepared for it. Like, a lot of times founders will think that they're prepared for making content. Oh, dude, don't worry about it. I spent 15 hours every single day coding. Content will be a walk in the park piece of cake. And then they go and record content and they're like, man, I'd rather debug code right now. Like, that's how bad it is. And it can get that frustrating. And it's not as easy as it seems. It will take a ton of trial and error. I tell this story all the time. Before I started creating content, like officially taking off my content, which was in like 2021, my brother, COVID hit at the time. He was at UC Berkeley. He was a freshman at UC Berkeley. And he posted a piece of content that went like viral there. And he was like, okay, I know what I want my career to be, because he's been trying for like his whole life with me. And then he came home. He was like, Sai, I figured out this format. You do it. Trust me, it's going to work. And I'm like, oh, okay, Extreaker. Like, I'm so excited. And I record the piece of content. Maybe like 10 things I have to say, right? Like, I have the script in front of me. And at the same time, I know exactly what images I'm going to put in the background post-production. So like, super, super easy. You wouldn't imagine it to take long at all. 2.5 hours later, I'm still on like my fifth try, right? Cause it's so hard when you haven't done it before. And you post the piece of content. This is the worst part, right? Like, you post the piece of content and you're so excited cause you spent so much time doing it, and you see that it has like 7 views and you're like, what did I just spend all my time on? And then you get really beaten up and you felt like you should have spent time debugging code. And it's terrible. And not to mention, it takes away from other priorities you may have. So a lot of times founders are super amped about the idea of creating content themselves. And then they start recording content for 3 hours a day. And then they realize that their app has a ton of bugs in it. So the ads that people come from and they actually download the app, they're not able to use it properly because the founder's not doing his job or whatever that job may be. And then the last thing is ego when they do perform. Now, this is something that's really hard to get over, and it will take you time, but when ads perform well, you feel like you're on top of the world. When they don't, you feel terrible and like you hate your life. And so trying to work on that ego when they do perform is something that you definitely 100% need to master. That's something I'm still trying to master, but it will make a difference. Okay, so those are the pros and cons of founder-led ads. Now, what are the pros and cons of an external creator, otherwise known as a UGC creator? Pros: one, they get content. Like, they do this for a living. If you were told to go play in the NBA, if you have no basketball experience and you have to score 15 points, you will get wrecked. Like, you will get destroyed because people live, breathe, and just like go through the motions of basketball every single waking second of the day. And then you come in there thinking you can write. It just doesn't work that way. So same goes for content creators. You can't expect a creator who has tons of knowledge to do worse than you when you have no knowledge and experience in the past, because they get content. Okay, second, they can create content at scale. Again, like, you might create a piece of content and then tire out after one video, after recording it for like 5 hours, they can do, like, they do this, like, they do it in their sleep. They keep going. So they can get 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 pieces of content out every single day. Another pro, extreme time saving. Like, you don't have to waste your time on this. It's super leveraged. They have very natural talking styles. So even though it might not be as authentic, if you were to talk about your product, you can kind of mend it, and they kind of understand, as long as your creator selection criteria is really good. And then last thing, they can edit really well, and most creators do this themselves. Okay, what are the cons? Obviously, one, they cost money. Just for a range, like UGC creators, anywhere between 150 to some creators charge like $1,000 a video, and you can get cheaper ones. It's just really difficult, and sometimes the content just isn't that great. So it definitely does cost money. Second, you feel like you don't have 100% control over them. And this is a big problem if you are a control freak, because they will not read your script word by word by word and like match the exact tonality you say in it, because they also want it to be natural. So you have to let go a little bit and not just control them 24/7. Three, this is the hardest part, is you need an exact system and process around direction and content, just like assignment, right? Like this is the hardest part of managing a creator or a creator team. And final little story for us. I mean, like, we do this, we're an agency who manages multiple creators. So, I mean, we have just like, we've spent so much time, money, effort figuring out the best system for tracking revisions, tracking assignments, tracking, invoices. There's just so much that goes into it that you just don't think of. And at first you feel like, oh yeah, let me just tell them in like a iMessage chat to create 10 pieces of content a day. You can try that and you will see just like how difficult it is. Even if it's on Slack, you will like, it just doesn't work. And so you do need extremely detailed project management to assign content and scripts and track progress and metrics. We're redoing our whole entire project management system right now, spending a ton of time, effort, money on it. It's just like a total 180 reinvention, because we thought we had the system totally down. I mean, like, it's there, but there's things that can be improved. And so you will just continuously be going through this. This is a very big con that you do have to spend time doing. And the last thing that's also extremely big is understanding what type of scripts creators can record, what types of pieces of content creators are comfortable recording. You might hire a creator and then a week in they tell you that they hate content styles such as XYZ. And that can be really frustrating as a founder. So navigating that is also extremely important. Okay, and then the next thing is identifying who best aligns with your brand demographic if you do choose an external creator. This is something that founders fall into the trap of just spending a ton of time. Oh, this person fits the demographic. Oh, this person doesn't. We found many times, we actually had an instance really recently, a couple months ago, where a founder was super like adamant on not testing one specific creator because they thought that their demographic just wouldn't match. And we were like, hey, listen, just trust me on this one. Like, we've seen it work in the past. Let's just see. If you're right, that's totally cool. After we test 10 videos with them, that's totally cool. Like, if we see a visible difference in like the demographic actually downloading your app, fine. But if it works, just let's keep using them. And they're like, yeah, obviously, for sure, let's do it. And so we did it. And to their surprise, not to ours, because we've done this a million times, they were able to attract the exact target audience that they were trying to get, regardless of that, of the ethnicity, the race, the gender, the age, whatever it is. And so one thing that I just would like for you to be more open-minded with is testing creators in all demos. And obviously, right, you're not going to go find like a 70-year-old male if your target audience is like 18-year-old girls, right? Like there's obviously like levels to it, but I think you're smart enough to understand exactly like where that line is drawn exactly. Okay, so now that we covered creators, and this is a very important part of like your business, the one problem, the one thing that I'll just like give you as like cautionary tape is don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? With one specific creator, because a lot of times creators get busy. They might not vibe with your company anymore. You might stress them out. You might be a bad manager. You might, whatever, millions of reasons. And then when you run paid ads and they're working really well, and then that creator for some reason decides to go on vacation to Cancun for 2 months, you're pretty much screwed because you have nothing else to do. And then you're going to try creating content, and we all know how that's going to go unless you've created content in the past or feel like you have time to do it. And so just be aware of not getting too tied to one creator. If possible, try to get multiple in the beginning. Okay, so once you have found a format that works, a creator demographic or whatever style that works, how do you actually scale your creators? Now, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but really just don't overcomplicate it. Just find more creators within your ideal price range. Just do what you did to find that one creator and just find more of them. I guarantee you, if you found a creator one way, you can 10x that. Oh, but Sai, like I found this creator through a referral that my old boss sent me on LinkedIn. Cool. Ask him for another one. Cool. Ask another old boss for a referral. Cool. Put it out on your LinkedIn if anyone can give you a referral for a creator and pay them whatever commission. There's so many ways to think about this, and just don't overcomplicate it. Don't get in your head about it. It should take you 10 minutes to do. Again, these are all mistakes. These are all things that I've been burned with. Me and my brother have been burned with in the past, and I want to make sure that you don't burn yourself because I've went through that struggle. My brothers went through that struggle of spending tons of time, headache, and resources, money trying to find creators. And then we were just like, how did we find these initial creators? Why don't we just like 10x that? And that's pretty much exactly what we did. Really quick, guys, my brother and I spend a ton of time putting together free content like this. And if you're enjoying so far, it would mean the world if you could leave a review and share this with a fellow mobile app founder. For all you know, this podcast could be the unlock to them building a billion-dollar app, and you will be forever remembered for sending it to them. Now back to the show. Okay, second, split up content somewhat evenly. And now this is something that, just take this with a grain of salt, because sometimes, and it really just depends on how your ads are converting, sometimes you might want your creator that's doing really well to just get even more content. That could make sense. But when you initially start and like you have a few creators and you're like kind of scaling, try to do a somewhat even split and then just look at the metrics. The metrics will tell you. If one creator is constantly underperforming, cut them out. Bottom 20% of your team should leave based on metrics of the ads. If you see a creator constantly underperforming, time for them to go. Okay, doubling down on converting creators. Again, just coming back to what I said, if you see something that's working really well and it's clear that it's the creator and not another variable. Now, I know with paid ads, there's a million different variables, how you do the media buying, the scripting process, the editing process, all of that. But if you're very clear that it's the creator that's constantly just hitting, then just give more content to that creator. Just stick to your instincts. That's what makes most sense. Don't overcomplicate it. Okay, another lesson that we had to learn, and you're like, Sai, how many lessons do you have to learn? I thought you were like the master, the king of all of this. Yeah, we also learn every single day, just has how you have to make product improvements every single day. We're also trying to get better. And a big thing that we didn't do initially, and looking back, it's like one of the dumbest mistakes that we have made, is not giving access to creators, not giving access to metrics for our creators. We kind of just like, hey, yeah, this is how your content's performing. If something's working really well, we'll like send it in like our Dubs channel that we have. Oh, this is working really well. Great job. Jack, great job, whatever like your creators' names are. And we did this and we just realized this is so dumb. And we had these stupid limiting beliefs around like why we wouldn't give them access to our metrics. Oh, maybe it's not good for them to see the whole client's ad account. Oh, maybe it's not good for them to see how much we're spending. Oh, this, all these limiting beliefs, all these metrics. Trust me, I lived with it. I've done it before. Give them access to pretty much everything. Just don't let them make changes, but they should see everything. And you can set up a cadence around how you review this, whether it's a weekly, bi-weekly, whatever it is. Another one, this is another big one, is use incentives. This is another big lesson that we didn't learn early on. So there are a couple of things that you can do. One is a lowest CPI bonus. So if you have multiple creators, every month you could do like a video with the lowest cost per install gets X dollars bonus. And another one you can do is creator of the month. So the creator that just constantly outperforms, you can have some criteria around this, whether it's communication, submitting content on time, doing revisions properly, actually putting time and effort. Maybe it's a mix of great feedback from the rest of your team or just like how metrics are performing. This is one big fat bonus that you should 100% do. And again, live through these lessons, live through these failures. You might want to penny pinch like, oh, I don't know if I should spend a couple $100 giving these bonuses every single month. Like, dude, you're spending $100K a month on ads. What are you doing? Like, you can justify a few $1,000 if that's literally how your ads are profitable. And like, not saying you spend $100K a month, but if you get to that level, or even if you don't, like, just take a percentage of whatever you spend on ads and put it towards your creators, right? Again, limiting beliefs seem simple, but then you get in your head. Don't get in your head. Just do this. It's a proven process. It works. Okay, another one. Using your creators for ideas. Another big lesson that we had to learn. Your creators are super, super smart. Like, they get content, and you might undervalue them, underappreciate them. Oh, they just know how to create content. They don't get anything else. Like, this is a very new industry. We got in very early, like 2021, like that's when we started learning content. So everyone that's been in UGC has picked up UGC over the last couple of years. Like there's no one that has done it before. Ask any of your creators, like they'll be like, oh, UGC wasn't even a thing before. It's such a new industry. And these creators are on top of their stuff. Like they're on top of their game. So just use them. Absolutely utilize them for every single thing. Like ideas. Hey, throw this out. And you can have incentives around ideas as well. What we do is we have a great, awesome Slack channel that's constantly flowing with, like, we call it cool vids. And all our creators, every time they come across something super cool, they drop it in the chat and say, hey, I think this would work really well for this client. And then we kind of just go back and forth there. You can do something very, very similar. And another bonus tip for you, what I do constantly, I did this like 30 minutes ago, is every time I see an ad on Instagram or TikTok, your initial reaction is to like skip it because like no one likes ads. I can't say that as a marketer, but your initial reaction is to skip it. But what I started doing is like, if you see an ad constantly, or if you see any ad, there's a very high likelihood that it's working. So what I do is just screen record it and just like put it in my notes section. So the next time I go to record ads, I use it as inspiration, the format, the how they're like talking, all that stuff. And it works really, really well. And so something with your creators, going back to what I just said, using your creators for ideas, you could either do a Slack or weekly ideation sessions. If you have a weekly sync with your creators, highly recommend throwing this towards the middle or end. That really, really works. And another just quick tip, I would not do anything more than a weekly sync with your creators. Unless they're making more than 10K a month from you, it's really not worth their time. It's also not worth yours. Every single week, just 30 minutes a week, just structure it out super, super detailed. And I'll make another podcast on that if you guys would want more on that, about how to exactly structure your creator meetings. Just shoot me a DM on Instagram at SaiKarra, SaiKarra, and I will take your advice and make that podcast. Okay, next, create a format. So some formats that really work extremely well. There's really only like three, which is static images, faceless content, so like not a face on it, and then UGC, so that's user-generated content. That's with people's faces on the actual videos. Static images have been kind of put in like the back burner for a lot of companies as of recent, just because UGC is taking over, but we have found some static to work really, really well. We have a company right now that's spending, I think probably like $1-3 million a month on ads. And a lot of their actual success is maybe like 40-50% are static images. So very, very underutilized. And you can get them at scale for really cheap. Second, faceless content. A lot of their content's also faceless. So it's still video, but it doesn't have a face on it. So think text on screen or like pointing at something or doing something cool with your hands, gesture, stuff like that. And then last is UGC. So a couple examples of UGC is like green screen videos. So talking with something in the background, interviews. So like interviewing someone on the on the street, that's something that we absolutely crush with. So by the way, if you're looking for some agency help and you want us to do pretty much all of this for you, go to trendify.com, that's T-R-E-N-D-I-F-Y.com, and book a consultation call with us. And you can speak directly with me and my brother. So that's always super cool. And we absolutely crush those. So interviews is something that's really big. And then skits, there's also direct to camera. So just keep diversity and testing different formats. You never know what will take off. Pro tip though, interviews are working really well across all of our ad accounts. Highly, highly recommend spending some time doing that, getting out on the street, whether it's you or a creator. It is awkward at first, but you could use a friend, you can use someone you know, whatever. It can work really well. Okay, key tip. It doesn't need to be perfect. It instead needs to be relatable. So this is going back to the content. A lot of times we have companies come to us, or just the founders that I've consulted with over the past. They're like, Sai, like I spent $300,000 making this one video. I haven't had a founder tell me that, but that sounded like a cool story to tell. So I'm just saying it. But there are a lot of founders that spend a ton of money on one simple piece of content. And then they put it out super professional, polished, and it just absolutely duds. Like it flops terrible. So a big limiting belief I have that I've seen between a lot of founders is like they're looking for just very extreme, extreme professional, like polished content. And I'm not saying that that can't work. I would 100,000% test that too. But we found that simple UGC content works really well. Like this is what people find relatable. The simple, non-produced, relatable content. I want you to think back to any of your favorite ads that you've seen on television. Now maybe you'll pay more attention, but Super Bowl ads are something that I love watching. The ones that are really good are not the super polished, like unrelatable ones. It's like the super simple, relatable, just content that's like, it's just so awesome. And that's what you should be spending your time thinking about and actually making. Okay. Scripting. I'm not going to spend too much time on scripting. This is a video or podcast for another time. Save every single ad that you see that you really like. Again, just reiterating. Chances are if you see the same ad over and over again, it is working. Look at competitors for inspiration on Meta Ads Library or TikTok Ads Library. If you guys don't know what these are, there are platforms that basically allow you to spy on your competitors' ads, and it is awesome. Next is making creative briefs for your creators or yourself. Again, not going to spend too much time on this, but include hooks, bodies, and call to actions in the actual briefs, and then give them enough freedom. So this is a big thing going back to like being a control freak. You don't need them to follow every single word script, the exact script word for word, unless you have some compliance issues. So like if you have a banking app or like a financial, something related in that realm of apps, then maybe it does make sense for them to follow everything, only if compliance is an issue. If not, like, just let them use it and do their own thing. You would be very surprised as to how these creators are able to spin up such just awesome, awesome content. And it's so awesome to see. Okay, next, scaling your creative. Now, this is a big thing. Like, you have something that's working. Congratulations. How do you scale it? How do you get more of what's working? So there's the 60-30-10 split. This is something that you can test out. 60% of new ads should be replications of top performers after you have hit your target metrics. So every new ad that you make, if you have something and just really, really clear, don't really worry about this unless you have ads that are working that you're happy with and are hitting your ideal cost. So 60% of new ads should be replications of top performers. What does that mean? So let's say you have a video that absolutely crushes, just make it again. Don't change, like literally make the same exact video script, word for word, script for script, even the, having the same t-shirt on, like just make the same video. And you can change like things like the shirt and stuff like that, maybe just a little bit like the background, but the script should be the same. Just replicate your top performers. 30% of new ads should be replications with major changes. So 60% is replications of top performer, 30% is replications with major changes. So this is like changing the hook, changing the body, changing the call to action, completely changing the recording style, the format, maybe doing an interview instead of a skit, but following the same sort of structure. And then 10% of ads, you can do net new concepts. Again, only do this after you are comfortable scaling your creatives. Just don't get caught up in the trap of trying to reinvent the wheel when it already works. There's this great story. I think it was like the CEO of Ford. I think this was a while ago. I hope I have this right. He saw a billboard with like a specific ad on it. And he went to the CMO and he's like, how long are we going to keep running that ad? Man, I am so sick of it. Like, let's cut that down. And the CMO goes, we've never ran it. We've never ran it before. And so the lesson there is like, a lot of times you'll feel frustrated seeing your same ads over and over and over and over again. Or you might think, oh, this is going to fatigue over and over and over again. Again, human psychology is very similar. If something's working now, there is a very high likelihood it will work 6 months from now. So just keep scaling what's working. And then you'll understand if like something stops working, it'll be really clear in your actual metrics. Okay, creative review process. Every week, review every single ad. Look at metrics and identify why certain videos worked well the way they did. And then use this as inspiration for assigning new concepts. Again, very simple, basic, back of napkin stuff. This is something that we didn't do for a very long time. So just take the lesson. I think Alex Hormozi says this, take the lesson without the scar. Okay. 6, media buying. This is exactly how you buy media. Not exactly, but just understanding high level and a couple tips and things you can do for people to actually not just install your app, but use it. Okay. So fun math stuff, reverse engineering your KPIs. How do you know how much to budget and how much to actually spend? So this comes down to reverse engineering your KPIs and knowing what your goals are. So you want your LTV to CAC to be greater than 3 to 1. This is what I told you. And again, LTV lifetime value, CAC, customer acquisition cost. If your product has an LTV of $100, let's just say, imagine whatever app you have right now, your LTV is $100. So every time, on average, every user that uses your product pays you $100 over their lifetime. Your customer acquisition cost, your CAC, has to be at a maximum $33, meaning for someone to subscribe / buy your product, you need to spend no more than $33 to do so. Don't ask me why this number exists. This is just what the business gods and math gods have written out, and this is like just fundamental business, 3-to-1 LTV to CAC. So let's assume that your conversion rate from install, so your install to conversion rate is 5%. So for every install you get, let's say you get 100 installs, five of those people are actually going to purchase your plan or buy your product, whatever is within your app, right? Or like you're going to make money from them. So you can justify spending anything less than $1.65 per install. Again, LTV $100, conversion rate, install to conversion rate, 5%. You can justify spending anything less than $1.65. So this is really interesting. And a lot of companies and founders don't actually take the time to do this. Again, if you're trying to play the long-term game, which I do recommend, you're not going to get to this in a couple months. Like you're just not going to hit a 3-to-1 LTV to CAC. It's going to take a lot of time. It's possible, but it will take you time. And again, a lot of times paid ads for most apps are understanding how to maximize retention and LTV by creating a better product. So the scenario laid out that I just laid out is when you have it right, which can possibly take years to do so. So coming back to what I was saying earlier about making decisions about your product based on the data that you're seeing. So ads will help you see the data that you really need to improve. Imagine you have an app that no one uses. You don't know what to work on. Like your tech, your CTO will have no idea what to do. You'll use it and tell them, hey, I don't like the screen, change it. They're like, what's the data behind that? Oh, I just don't like it, change it. And they're like, okay. And it's just like, that's just not how you build a company. So what ads do is like, they give you people to use your app. And so pay attention to the biggest drop-offs in app and work on those. So we recently had a company that got sub $1.50 installs, but they realized that like 75% of people were dropping off because the extension activation was too confusing. So basically how their app worked, you downloaded the app and then you add the extension to your browser. And so they have to actually add the extension to the browser for that person to actually be valuable to them. And so when they realized that, they spent all their time fixing it, which led to a significant increase in overall app growth. So finding the biggest constraint and working on it is all you need to do. There's a great, I think it was a paper or book called The Theory of Constraints that was published a long time ago. And it just talks about how every system grows to one specific constraint, and then you fix that constraint and it grows to the next constraint. So with ads, a lot of these different ad platforms, these MMPs, and I'll talk about this in just a second, and attribution, these apps flyer, mixed panel, amplitude, they will show you metrics that you need to see. So of the people that are coming from specific ads, how many of them are actually using your product? How many of them are activating extensions, actually purchasing? And then you can reverse engineer your decisions through that. Okay. Another $1 million question, literally budgeting. Okay. How much money should I spend on my ad side? Now, this is something that's really hard for me to answer, but anything less than about $100 a day on paid ads is pretty insignificant to learn. It's possible. It will just take you a lot longer. So if you're spending $1,000 a day, the platform will tell you really quick, like what's working and what's not. But if you're spending $100 a day, you'll learn. It'll just take a little longer. If you're spending like $50 a day, it'll just take a lot longer. And if your goal is speed, which it 100% should be, because speed is money, time is money, then I would definitely recommend bumping that up as much as you can. Okay, scaling your spend. Just really quick here, not going to spend too much time on media buying necessarily, like the actual tactics. Again, can make another podcast around that. Let me know if you'd like me to do that. Don't 5X your spend overnight. Your costs will rise drastically. You have something that's working and you're like, oh, let me just 10X this. Not going to work, unfortunately. Instead, stick to about 20% per day. And that's also like a little aggressive, but don't just like 5X your spend. You will see diminishing returns regardless. So be prepared. Like if you're spending $100 a day on ads versus spending $100,000 a day on ads, your cost per install or whatever action you're looking for will be different. And then another quick thing, you can optimize for in-app events. Now, this is something that I honestly, like a lot of founders don't know about, but you can set up events within your app that you can optimize Facebook for. So Facebook, the way they work, Meta, Mr. Mark Zuckerberg, he comes and says, oh, this video, this Sai is paying for this video, this paid ad for his app called Trendify, whatever, right? And his goal is if I'm paying for it, he wants me to have the users that will actually use the app because I pay him, he pays me. Win-win scenario, whatever, right? So the thing that you can do is like, instead of optimizing for an install, so I tell Mark Zuckerberg, hey, I want people to install my app. So he's going to look for people that install it. But I can tell Facebook the platform or TikTok the platform, I want people who are most likely to do this specific action within my app. And now you can set this up with a developer in your app for custom events, feed that through AppsFlyer, and then you can run ads to those specific events. So then Mark Zuckerberg and his team, it's not going to be actual Mark Zuckerberg. Don't get your hopes up. But their algorithm, Facebook algorithm, will say, okay, so they're optimizing for this event. After I have one person do the event, I'm going to look for people similar to that person. And that's basically what they do. That's how they run it. The hardest part about all of this is attribution. On iOS 14, Apple made a privacy law, which changed everything. If you have an app, you're probably aware of this, preventing apps to collect lots of data and advertisers to collect lots of data about where their users are coming from, etc., which is why platforms like AppsFlyer became a thing, also known as MMP. So AppsFlyer, branch these different platforms. And if you have an app and you're currently running ads or are thinking about running ads, you do need an MMP. AppsFlyer is what I 100% do recommend. Because basically what these platforms do, I don't know exactly how their tech works, but they work around these privacy laws and they give you more insight into what's actually working and what's not. You need an MMP to track everything properly or else you're just building in the dark. Again, one of those things, listen to me. I've been through it. I've done it tons and tons of times. Set up an MMP. I don't even think you can run ads without an MMP to your app anymore. And using your MMP, so AppsFlyer or Branch, whatever you decide to use, it'll show you exactly where your users are coming from, which specific ads they're coming from, and which ads result in higher conversion rates. So it'll show you retention based on ads. And that's something that's just so, so helpful to know. Okay, so top of funnel, middle of funnel, bottom of funnel. This is something that you've probably heard a lot, and I'm going to break this down specific to apps. So top of funnel, the question for people is like the customer, the user that can potentially download your app is, what is the app? Like, what is this app? If I know nothing about the app, the first thing in my mind is, what is this app? And now these are things, top of funnel, bottom of funnel, middle of funnel. You do all three of these things when you're a little bit more established or have a bunch of cash to spend and you're trying to scale aggressively. So why does top of funnel matter? And I'll explain what it is in a second. Trust on social media is at an all-time low, which makes things increasingly difficult for most brands. And you need to stand out somehow, or at the very least, prove that you're a legit company that serves a real purpose. And this is really what top of funnel is all about. How can we turn a random stranger who knows nothing about your app into someone that is aware of it and trusts it? So when do you actually implement this? When audiences get colder and colder as ads scale, which leads to higher cost per acquisition. So basically how the platforms work, you'll kind of explore out of the pocket that Mark Zuckerberg finds for you that's just absolutely crushing, because that pocket will get exhausted. And so your audiences get quote unquote colder and colder, which leads to higher cost for acquisition. So once we see diminishing returns and we've done everything from like an ad testing and audience testing perspective, we roll out our top of funnel strategies. So basically what those strategies are, there's two of them. There's organic content. Now that's not really optimized for virality or conversions. And again, don't be thinking about this unless you're spending a ton of money right now. But your audience are just exhausted. And if you're like, Sai, I'm spending $1,000, $5,000 a day. Like, I think my ads are, exhausted completely. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, that's not what I mean. I mean, when you're spending a ton of money, or you're looking for more trust in your brand, or you want your CPIs or cost per acquisitions to be lower, that's when you do organic content. So like I said, not optimized for virality or conversions. Don't go into it thinking that you're just going to go insanely viral. People don't trust apps anymore based on their view and follower count. It's more about showing up every day with useful/entertaining/relatable content. And this basically, when people watch this content and then they see their ads, your ads, they're likely to interact and download your app and actually use it because they vibe with your organic content. You just give them a bunch of value. Okay, second is awareness and reach campaigns. These are ads that are catered towards people who have no idea about your app. And you're not actually tracking people that install. So it won't even show your install metrics. It's just reach campaigns. So they're typically cheaper, but like there's no action people do. It's just for them to see. Now, you'll see that massive companies spend a lot of money on reach campaigns. So this is like non-direct response marketing. Again, something you should start thinking about doing when you are at scale with ads. And then the last thing is commenting on your own posts. So commenting human things on your own content that make the brand seem fun and relatable. Just don't sound like an AI or a bot or someone that doesn't like, just be fun, humorous, lighthearted. Slim Jim's a great example of this. You guys should totally go check out their content on Instagram. Okay, Second, middle of funnel. Why do I need this app? That's the question that people have in mind. Now, this is what the majority of what you will be doing really is. At this stage, potential customers already know about your product, or they are a stranger but have a massive need for it. And most middle funnel ads care about one thing, and that's really just conversion. That's all that really matters. In the stage you are, if you're early stage, this is all that matters for you. This is the stage where metrics start mattering. Conversion rates, CPIs, CTRs. It matters because it's a somewhat simple input to output equation. Dollar in leads to dollar out. When do we implement this at Trendify? We implement this in the onset, assuming that the budget is available to test. This is just a period for quick learnings and demographic understanding. You'll see which types of people download your app, giving you more insight into product positioning. A couple strategies around this, Meta, TikTok, etc. So goals, having a target CPI in mind and testing hundreds of ads until that goal is met. Some apps see this sooner, some apps see this later. Formats, interviews, skits, green screens, direct to camera, creators, gender, age, location, content, scripts, doing deep analysis of competitors, testing scripts across the ad account, using performance data to refine scripts. And then kind of like that split that I talked about, the split that we do internally is 50, 30, 20. It's not 60, 40, 10. Just because we're able to pump out so much content, but this is our replication process to drive consistent results. And then visuals, what feels authentic? Is it too polished? How do we make it more natural and less edited? Authentic tone of voice as if a friend is speaking to you. So that's basically what middle of funnel is. And then last but certainly not least, bottom of funnel. So let's say someone downloads your app. Great, you get a great cost per install. Amazing, you're on top of the world. But then you realize that they drop off 5 seconds into downloading your app. So this is more bottom of funnel. So people that either one, download your app and you want them to actually do specific actions within it, or people that you want to download and then do specific actions within it that haven't already downloaded your app. Now, this is arguably the most crucial part of the whole funnel. If you take away anything from this podcast, I hope this is it. Views don't mean anything, neither do followers. I may go as far to say that installs don't matter as much as people think they do. What matters is making money. At the end of the day, that's what you're trying to get to. So how many of your users are you actually making money from? And how can we make them worth more? This is how you crack the money issue through bottom of funnel testing. So when do we implement this at Trendify? This can vary. If an ad account's extremely new and we're able to hit our target CPI within a few dozen videos, we may want to hold off until we're confident we can drive down CPI further. On the flip side, most times after we hit a CPI that we are comfortable with, we start working with the team to provide us what we need in order to focus on bottom funnel metrics. So that's like with the specific app founders and their dev teams. So strategies, in-app events, that's the first one that you can do. Which events matter most within the app? These are things, specific actions. Maybe someone subscribes, that's an event you can track. Maybe someone activates an extension, that's an event you can track. Like basically, what's the activation point? If you know someone does one specific thing that leads them to doing something else, and just having as many of these custom events as possible. And then just reflecting those in your MMP, there's a whole strategy around that. I'm not going to get into that now. Second is retargeting ads. If you have lists, so a list of people that have downloaded your app and like have done something within the app, you can take that list and feed it into Meta and it will target those people. And it's basically like retargeting. Unfortunately, with mobile apps post iOS 14, you can't do retargeting ads that are, let's say someone installs your app, you can't retarget installs. It just doesn't work, unfortunately. And then basically what we do is we break those into lookalike lists. So lookalike lists is just basically what, how similar people are to that list that you sent. There's like different percentages. So like 0% is very, very similar. I think it's like the same exact list. 1% is a little different, but very similar. And then it goes on and on and on. So another key note is that in some cases, middle of funnel campaigns may outperform bottom of funnel campaigns. But this is also really important because you want to reassess the goal of the ad account to make sure that the whole funnel is properly optimized. Like you may have middle funnel and bottom of funnel working in tandem in parallel. So I know that was a lot at once, but just really like the TLDR there is top of funnel is all about trust and awareness. Nobody trusts your brand anymore. So you have to show up consistently with organic content, reach campaigns, and relatable interactions. It's less about virality, more proving that you're real. Middle of funnel is where conversions actually start mattering. We test a ton of short form ads across different platforms, refining scripts, visuals, and creator styles to hit the low CPI. And then for you too, like quick learnings will help you dial in on the right audience. And then bottom of funnel is where the real money is made. Installs mean nothing if users don't convert, which is why you need to optimize in-app events, track key actions, and retarget engaged users with lookalike campaigns to maximize revenue. Okay, cool. If you're enjoying this so far, I know I already asked you, but please, please, please do rate this show. Just it'll take you like 2 seconds to do and it will really, really go a long way for us. Okay, last thing is flywheel effects. So this is like paid ads is very like you put in a dollar, you get X out. But I mean, what really scales apps to like billion-dollar unicorns is having flywheel effects. Like there is not a single app that has scaled to $1 billion a year, or just $1 billion valuation, maybe $1 billion valuation, but $1 billion a year with just paid ads. It's with like simple input output paid ads. One is referral campaigns. So this is the first flywheel effect. So I don't know how many of you guys know about PayPal's viral strategy, but they would basically give people in the early days $10 for signing up and referring friends respectively. So like they would $10 for signing up, and then you get your friend would get $10, and I believe you'd also get $10 because you referred them. And that led to a 7 to 10% daily growth rate. Like imagine you have 1 million users and every day you're growing by 100,000 users. Like it's just nuts. If you're in the finance or like fintech field, this is something that you can totally implement. Just figure out how you can justify doing it if it makes sense. We worked with an app a couple years ago that scaled to number one in the app store in the entire world using a really awesome referral campaign, and it just absolutely crushed. And then fuel on the fire is just running paid ads to that, right? Second flywheel effect, affiliates. So there's only two ways to market a massive app. One, get people who never stop using or buying your app. So that's basically just like not buying your actual app, but buying within your app. So like if you have people that stay forever, you build a massive app. Or two, if you have churn, which every single app does, get people who never stop selling your app on your behalf. So that's basically looking for companies or people that already have your target users that just keep telling people to download your app. So even if you have churn, you can just keep getting users to download it. Look for companies who already have your target users. This is really big. And find out how to provide them value. So like, how can I give you something in return for you giving me users? Or find out how to give them an incentive to send people to your app. Now, I will say with mobile apps, this has gotten increasingly difficult finding affiliates. It's really, really difficult. Fun little fact about us, when we started creating content in 2021, we were getting hundreds of millions of organic views a month, and we worked with this affiliate partner that apps would, it's actually really funny how things came full circle now, but apps would pay this company X amount of dollars for every single download that we were able to get the app. And so they're basically just the middleman. So for every video that we had, we just plugged them, and then for every download we get, we'd get like $2 or $3. And so you can figure out a way to do that. I would just bear in mind that some of these affiliates are very low quality users. Again, if your app is really retaining and like useful, then people will actually stick around. If not, definitely revisit. Second to last is reviews. Ask for reviews in your app. If you aren't like you need to do that ASAP, and market your damn reviews. Like just market them in your videos. It helps, whether it's retargeting or just like marketing them. People trust reviews, so market them. And then last but not least, my last point in this entire podcast, I know we covered a lot already. Marketing is great. I love marketing. Marketing is awesome because you get to put amazing products in the forefront of millions and billions of people. But just bear in mind that the reason you built this is not to scale a shitty product. Your whole goal is retention. As a founder, your goal should be building a great product. Marketing is great, but only when you have a great product. And your app itself, your product itself is the greatest flywheel, which is why I also added this as the fourth flywheel. So just build a great product. Spend all your time, your effort, your money, your energy building a phenomenal product. Do user feedback. Do user surveys. Identify if your app's even good. Like have some reality checks. Just really question yourself. Dig deep. Ask your users, what can I do to make this product better? Do it and you will see all the fruits of your labor just materialize in front of you. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I did spend a lot of time scripting this out and just writing down a lot of my thoughts. I do really enjoy this and I just have so many more thoughts that I'd love to dive deeper into. So if you found this interesting, again, would mean the world if you could leave a review, share this with a fellow mobile app founder or the rest of your team, make them watch it as homework or listen to it as homework. I'm kidding, but I hope you enjoyed, and that's all for me, and I will catch you in the next one. Thanks, guys.